now she's gone. I was wrong, you were right, and now she's gone. Gave her all the loving that I ever had. The only thing I got from her was oh so bad. I was wrong, you were right, and now she's gone. I was wrong, you were right, and now she's gone. I was wrong, you were right, and now she's gone.
It seems to me I'm losing. Your heart.
You are still in tune with your freeform radio station. It is WMFO Medford. I remain Belinda. This continues to be Bubbles in the Think Tank, and it is the, what do we got? We got the penultimate radio obituary for Sandra Feva, the American soul singer. She was backup singer and well-known Northern soul icon. She sang backup with Aretha Franklin, Parliament, and Prince, among others. She just passed away at 73. It's the penultimate radio obituary for Sandra Feva right here at Bubbles in the Think Tank.
I only meant to love you. Didn't you know it, baby? Didn't you know it? Why couldn't you?
Ultimate radio obituary tonight is for Annie Ross, the British-American singer and actress best known as a member of the jazz vocal trio Lambert, Hendricks, and Ross. She was the daughter of Scottish vaudevillians who came to the U.S. at the age of 4, and right after they got to the city, she won a token contract with MGM through a children's radio contest run by Paul Whiteman. I didn't know that until today. Annie Ross just passed away at 89. It's the ultimate radio obituary with so many of those songs that I had to really cut this down. I mean, really cut this down. But we love them all. It's the ultimate radio obituary for Annie Ross right here at Bubbles in the Think Tank.
Mm-hmm. I gotta go. I wanna blow. I gotta go. I wanna blow. A little room. A lot of fun. I'm going home. I gotta run.
Not a little mansion and it ain't no motel. I'm telling you where the place is. Bet you never heard of such a goofy hotel. Cop a room and then you really can tend the biz.
I gotta go. I wanna blow. I gotta go. I got a really goofy pet, a better pet I never had. I gotta go. I wanna blow. I gotta go. I never ever wanna move. I never had a better move. I gotta go. I wanna blow. I gotta go. A tiny room is all I got, but man, I really do a lot of living. I gotta split, I gotta go.
In the hall and everybody has a ball. And what a ball, I do mean, it's jumping every minute. Soon as you get inside the door, well, you can feel the shaking floor. That alone will tell you the woodside is quite a jumping scene. Love line, get out of your mind, I'm women wine. You try it, you dig it, everybody has a ball in my hotel. What a story I can tell. I finish up a gig and tighten up my wig and never have to wander around and roam and never find a groovy place to get the jumping really going on. You can make it and you'll have a ball at home. You flip, it's well. I dig the woodside, man, that's where I dwell. I tell you where you're living, cause I really have a ball in my hotel.
A lot of jumping, you dig it soon as you arrive. A lot of jumping, it's got another kind of jive. A lot of jumping, and really very much alive. I tell you something, and they're jumping at the woodside now. A lot of jumping, you hop a room to telephone. A lot of jumping, you tell a fella you're alone. A lot of jumping, and you're no longer on your own. To pay yourself and they're jumping at the woodside now. A lot of jumping, and you can do the way you need. A lot of jumping, they got a place where you can breathe. A lot of jumping, and you can live a life at ease. And pay yourself and they're jumping at the woodside now. A lot of jumping, you dig it coming through the door. A lot of jumping, and you can feel the shaking floor. A lot of jumping, and you'll be coming back for more. Tell you something, and they're jumping at the woodside now. A lot of jumping, you dig it soon as you arrive. A lot of jumping, it's got another kind of jive. A lot of jumping, and really very much alive. Tell you something, and they're jumping at the woodside now.
The next day was heavy. With only 30 hours until post time, I had no press credentials. And according to the sports editor of the Louisville Courier-Journal, no hope at all of getting any. Worse, I needed two sets, one for myself and another for Ralph Steadman, the English illustrator who was coming from London to do some derby drawings. All I knew about him was that this was his first visit to the United States, and the more I pondered the fact, the more it gave me fear. How would he bear up under the heinous culture shock of being lifted out of London and plunged into the drunken mob scene at the Kentucky Derby? There was no way of knowing. Hopefully, he would arrive at least a day or so ahead and give himself time to get acclimated. Maybe a few hours of peaceful sightseeing in the bluegrass country around Lexington. My plan was to pick him up at the airport in the huge Pontiac Ballbuster I'd rented from a used car salesman named Colonel Quick, then whisk him off to some peaceful setting that might remind him of England. Colonel Quick had solved the car problem, and money, four times the normal rate, had bought two rooms and a scumbox on the outskirts of town. The only other kink was the task of convincing the moguls at Churchill Downs that Scanlon's was such a prestigious sporting journal that common sense compelled them to give us two sets of the best press tickets. This was not easily done. My first call to the publicity office resulted in total failure. The press handler was shocked at the idea that anyone would be stupid enough to apply for press credentials 2 days before the Derby.
Hal, you can't be serious. The deadline was 2 months ago. The press box is full, there's no more room, and what the hell is Scanlon's Monthly anyway?
I uttered a painful groan. Didn't the London office call you? They're flying an artist over to do the paintings. Steadman. He's Irish, I think. Very famous over there. Yes, I just got him from the coast. He seemed interested, even sympathetic, but there's nothing he could do. I flattered him with more gibberish, and finally he offered a compromise. We could get us two passes to the clubhouse grounds, but the clubhouse itself and especially the press box were out of the question.
That sounds a little weird. It's unacceptable. We must have access to everything, all of it. The spectacle, the people, the pageantry, and certainly the race. You don't think we came all this way to watch the damn thing on television, do you? One way or another, we'll get inside. Maybe we'll have to bribe a guard, or even mace somebody. I had picked up a spray can of mace in a downtown drugstore for $5.98, and suddenly, in the midst of that phone talk, I was struck by the hideous possibilities of using it out of the track, macing ushers at the narrow gates to the clubhouse inner sanctum, then slipping quietly inside, firing a huge load of mace into the governor's box just as the race starts, or macing helpless drunks in the clubhouse restroom for their own good.
By noon on Friday, I was still without press credentials and still unable to locate Stedman. For all I knew, he'd changed his mind and gone back to London. Finally, after giving up on Stedman and trying unsuccessfully to reach my man in the press office, I decided my only hope for credentials was to go out to the track and confront the man in person with no warning, demanding only one pass now instead of two, and talking very fast with a strange lilt in my voice, like a man trying hard to control some inner frenzy. On the way out, I stopped at the motel desk to cash a check. Then, as a useless afterthought, I asked if by any wild chance a Mr. Stedman had checked in. The lady on the desk was about 50 years old, very peculiar looking. When I mentioned Stedman's name, she nodded, without looking up from whatever she was writing, and said in a low voice,
"You bet he did. Yes, indeed. Mr. Stedman just left for the racetrack, the friend of yours."
I shook my head. "I'm supposed to be working with him, but I don't even know what he looks like. Now, goddammit, I'll have to find him in the mob at the track."
"Well, you won't have any trouble finding him. You could pick that man out of any crowd."
"Why? What's wrong with him? What does he look like?"
"Well, he's the funniest looking thing I've seen in a long time. He has this growth all over his face. As a matter of fact, it's all over his head. You'll know him when you see him. Don't worry about that."
"Creepy Jesus," I thought. "That screws the press credentials." I had a vision of some nerve-rattled geek all covered with matted hair and string warts showing up at the press office and demanding Scanlon's press packet. Well, what the hell? We could always load up an asset and spend the day roaming around the clubhouse grounds with sketch pads, laughing hysterically at the natives, and swilling mint juleps so the cops wouldn't think we're abnormal. Perhaps even make the act pay. Set up an easel with a big sign saying, "Let a foreign artist paint your portrait, $10 each. Do it now!" I took the expressway out to the track, driving very fast and jumping the monster car back and forth between lanes, driving with a beer in one hand and my mind so muddled that I almost crushed a Volkswagen full of nuns when I swerved to catch the right exit. There was a slim chance, I thought, that I might be able to catch the ugly Britisher before he checked in. But Stedman was already in the press box when I got there, a bearded young Englishman wearing a tweed coat and RAF sunglasses. There was nothing particularly odd about him, no facial veins or clumps of bristly warts. I told him about the motel woman's description, and he seemed puzzled. "Don't let it bother you," I said. "Just keep in mind for the next few days that we're in Louisville, Kentucky. Not London. Not even New York. This is a weird place. You're lucky that mental defective at the motel didn't jerk a pistol out of the cash register and blow a big hole in you." I laughed, but he looked worried. "Just pretend you're visiting a huge outdoor loony bin," I said. "If the inmates get out of control, we'll soak them down with mace." I showed him the can of Chemical Billy, resisting the urge to fire it across the room at a rat-faced man typing diligently in the Associated Press section. We were standing at the bar, sipping the management's scotch and congratulating each other on our sudden unexplained luck in picking up two sets of fine press credentials.
"The lady at the desk had been very friendly to me. I just told her my name and she gave me the whole works."
By mid-afternoon, we had everything under control. We had seats looking down on the finish line, color TV, and a free bar in the press room, and a selection of passes that would take us anywhere from the clubhouse roof to the jockey room. The only thing we lacked was unlimited access to the clubhouse inner sanctum in sections F and G, and I felt we needed that to see the whiskey gentry in action.
There I go. Pretty baby, you are the soul that snapped my control. Very funny thing, but every time you're near me, I never can explain. You give me a smile and then I melt into your magic. There's music all around me. crazy music, music that keeps calling me so very close to you, turns me insane. Come and do with me anything you want to. Baby, just let me get next to you. Can I explain, or do I really see heaven in your eyes? Bright as stars that shine up above me in the pale blue skies. How I worry about you, just can't live my life without you. Baby, come here, don't have no fear. Is it any wonder why I'm really feeling in the mood for love? Now, baby, why stop to think about this weather, my dear? This little dream might fade away. There I go, talking out of my head again. Oh, baby, won't you come and put our poor hearts together? That will make me strong and brave. When we are one, I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid. If there's a cloud up above us, come on and let it rain. I'm sure our love together will endure a hurricane. Oh, my baby, won't you let me love you and get a relief from this awful misery? What is all this talk about loving you, my sweet? I am not afraid, not anymore, not like before. Won't you understand me? Baby, please pull yourself together, do it soon. My soul's on fire, come on and take me. I'll give what you made me, my darling, my dear. Oh, baby, you make me feel so good. Let me take you by the hand. Come, let us visit our plan in that new promised land. Maybe there we can find a good place to keep a loving frame of mind. I'm so tired of being without you, never knowing what love's about. James Moody, you can come on in, man. You can blow now if you want to. We're through.
And that nearly wraps up tonight's Ultimate Radio Obituary for Annie Ross, and nearly wraps up tonight's program. One final tune to go out on, then we're going to hand you over to the WMFO Freeform Automatron, who's going to take very good care of you until the next DJ arrives. I promise. Then you're going to hang out with me all week long over there at the Bubbles in the Think Tank Facebook chat group, where you will make me laugh. You will make me laugh. Do it. Please. Then we'll be right back here next week at 11 p.m. Eastern with more silliness for your stick-shaking action. And by here, I mean virtually at WMFO from the Babyland Studios. It's still working out for us. I hope it's still working out for you. We definitely won't be back in the studio in 2020. So let's hope it's working out for everybody. But like I said, one final tune. Automatron. Then back here next week, all week long together, at the Bubbles in the Think Tank Facebook chat group, while you should be tuned in to your freeform radio station. It is WMFO Medford.
Here we are in a cozy chair,
picking on a wishbone from the Frigidaire.
Two sleepy people by dawn's early light, and too much in love to say goodnight. Yawning, look how late it gets. Two sleepy people.
too much in love to break away.
Do you remember the nights we had to linger in the park?
Father didn't like you at all.
Whatever happened to him?
Do you remember the reason why we married in the fall?
Oh, yes. To rent this little nest and get a bit of rest. Here we are.
Here we are.
Just about the same.
Foggy little fella.
Drowsy little day. We used to cuddle in the car.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Watching every last fading star.
Where did the last one go?
I don't know.
Remember the doctor said your health was under par.
Oh, I do. And you, my little snooks, you were ruining your looks.
Well, here we are, keeping up the pace.
Letting each tomorrow slap us in the face.
Two sleepy people by dawn's early light, and too much in love to say.
Anytime you like. Seducing teen girls online is easy. A lot of them feel so lonely and misunderstood. I don't even need to lie about my age. They're just glad they're talking to someone
older I can trust. They're more mature than the guys at my school and understand me better than other
teen girls are very trusting. You just have to tell them they're beautiful and special, and you can wear down whatever suspicions they have.
Have an understanding of real love. It's not all about looks. They know that doesn't matter when you're totally in love.
Love is the final piece of the puzzle. They believe anything I tell them because
I don't see why you shouldn't meet someone you totally trust. I mean, if someone really cares about you, there's no danger in
meeting them. No matter how long it takes, is always the goal. Once I get them to meet me, well, that's when things get really interesting.
Online predators know what they're doing. Do you?
1 in 5 kids online is sexually solicited. Don't believe the type. Visit cybertipline.com to learn more. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
This is Brian Kernahan, and you are listening to WMFO in Medford 91.5 FM, Tufts Educational Radio.
Smallest state in the union, but one of the most densely populated. It's not really an island, but it was first founded as one. It's the first colony to declare independence from Britain, and my baby's from there. So let's go to Rhode Island. A small nuclear explosion there in the 60s. They make lots of toys in Pawtucket, but for some reason cap guns are illegal. H.P. Lovecraft, Ruth Buzzy, and Chris Toppin are from there. So let's go to Chalk Man coming around with his dog and doling out homemade chalk to the kiddies. There was the Trojan tent where Miss B danced suggestively to Brick House. Marilyn Chambers, Cormac McCarthy, and Tanya Donnelly are from there. So let's go to Rhode Island.
Is it?